Sometimes it's good to just yell about football. What are you doing? Don't do this to me, Harry! The Ohio State. It's Ohio State! What do you mean, the? It's a poison. I almost stroked out and died over it. I'm glad to be at the party. I'm mad we're this late. You ain't a captain of nothing but a sinking ship. That helps the defense without them even doing a damn thing. Doing a damn thing. Get a call in line. 312-988-15. You tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. That's right. Welcome in. Welcome back, folks. We are here. It is draft day. Well, kind of. It's the day after draft day. Listen, I got to tell you guys, it's unbelievable what the draft has turned into on its own. Like, it's always been a big deal, but the way the draft has been built up in the media stuff surrounding it and all the buildup and everything, I mean, it is like, it shows you the power of the media when it's like, we're gonna make this a thing and we're gonna take something that people are interested in and crank it up even more. It's unbelievable the industry that the draft has become. How did John start this show without his nails painted, shaking my head? I know, I didn't have time. I woke up this morning, opted in the shower. I didn't have time to do that. Like, I'm having trouble wrapping my brain around the Bears thing. I knew it was going to happen. I was fully prepared for it to happen. We knew it was going to happen for months. I'm struggling to wrap my mind around it. I got to be honest. I'm struggling to wrap my mind around it. This Caleb Williams, King of Chicago, instant King of Chicago type stuff. It's wild. It's wild. Pete, I see you there. You're going to be the first one up. Let me get through the introductions. Why is my screen being weird? Do I look weird on the screen? It feels like I'm moving weird, like on a little delay. I don't know what's happening. That's the second time this week. One with the phone lines and then one with me dragging here a little bit. Maybe we caught up. Anyways, thanks for being here. Define weird. When it's coming for me, who knows? That's a good one, Pat. You would know more than most. I am what they would call in the old country, not normal. Anyways, thanks for being here. As always, you can, Pete, you're coming up. You're not usually a morning guy, Pete. We'll hit you up early here. As always, you can find the program on YouTube. Do it. Subscribe if you haven't yet. Appreciate it very much. Give the video a thumbs up. That helps Yanni Boy out as well. Notifications on. You and I both know why. That way you alert it every time a new episode drops. You don't want to miss it. Twitter. Search bar, always Irish, rat, always Irish Inc. Emails, always IrishHandy at gmail.com. Audio only anywhere you want it. You could get it to Colin Lines. You already know them. 312-988-15. You dial it up. You tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. Instagram, Facebook, always Irish Inc. USA Today, Irish Wire. You could read all about it there if you don't want to see my face. I certainly don't blame you. Same thing with the audio only versions. Patreon.com/AlwaysIrish. The former captain. He's the leading tackler, by the way, of that football team. Mike Goolsby and myself breaking it all down. Ooh, my man's got some juicy tidbits. Ooh, Michael. Juicy tidbits from Friday night. Leaning up on the old Notre Dame bar there. People having a couple Jack and Cokes, starting to talk a little bit about what's going on with Notre Dame behind the scenes. You're going to have some of that dropped on Patreon, some of that knowledge. So stay tuned. All right. Couple things on the agenda. Pete, I'll give you your time. You're probably working. All right. Number one is, I want to know your reactions to the draft. That's number one. There were some really interesting features to this draft. The way it went down, there's some really unique stuff that I want to point out. I want to see what you guys think. Pat, that entered my mind when I said it. That's why I enunciated very specifically, because I know somebody was going to say that. I just didn't know it was going to be you. Okay? Anyways, I want to know what you think about this draft. Joe Alt, congratulations. Fifth pick. Like, great job. Like, it's great seeing that ND in the top 10 picks, whatever. I think the goal for Notre Dame needs to be getting more premium guys up there than aren't just linemen or tight end. You follow me? Like, that's the next thing of, like, as the collective Notre Dame that you would like to see. Let's get some of these draft guys that go that high that are not O-linemen or tight end. I'm not saying not to still produce those guys. Do that and give me a quarterback that everybody wants high. And give me a wide receiver that everybody wants to move up to get. Like, I do think there are some... It's not a direct crossover, but I do think there are some things you can learn about where your college program's at by how the draft goes. And if you look at Notre Dame's drafts, it's a lot of tight ends. It's a lot of tight ends, O-linemen, and then you have your defensive guys sprinkled in there. I need to get these skill guys at Notre Dame to the level where they're draftable that high that people want our skill guys. That's the next thing for Notre Dame. So I want to know what you think about, we'll get into the draft because I have some specific thoughts that are entertaining to me after I give Pete some time here. Oh my God, Pat. I know that's a very serious thing and it isn't funny at all, but the way I just Pat, that's perfect. Oh my gosh, that's perfect. Oh, that's good. Yeah, we're getting reactions on both sides of this. Went back and rewatched the Freeman coddling segment and I thought Andrew was dead on. Yeah, I've gotten some reaction to it. Some people don't agree with them at all. Other people totally agree with them. It's a free world. For now, anyways. Like, I don't know. A lot of people, I got reactions saying this dude's off base. And other people were like, that's one of your only callers that's always on point. So beauty's in the eye of the beholder, I guess, when it comes to that kind of thing. Oh, Pete, what's going on? Okay. Draft. I want to know Notre Dame's priorities this summer. You got like a top 3 to 5 priorities, things you need to see Notre Dame accomplish this summer. Let me holler at your boy. Let me know that. I want to know what's in your mind as far as those priorities as we enter the summer. I want to know what you're still worried about. I know you got Irish anxiety, a lot of you the same way I do. I'd love to know what you're still concerned about. What's hanging over this team that you're not going to be able to get answers to until we reconvene in August that's on your mind? Any of that's open? Anybody that didn't even get a chance to call yet, talk about blue and gold. Yeah, we don't have a game for another three months. So you can call and talk about blue and gold in 2 months if you want. Oh, boy. John, you aren't going to bring up on three calling BK the second best coach in the country. Yeah, it's what he's always up there. And here's my question, though. Pete, I promise I'm coming to you in 1 minute. Here's my question, though. Like, can you call Brian Kelly the second best coach in America when Dabo Sweeney has multiple title rings? Like, that's where I struggle. What is the criteria to put Brian Kelly 2 ahead of people that have won major bowl games? Like, he wins a lot of games. Brian Kelly runs a solid program now at Notre Dame post 16, a solid program. And he's going to have enough talent at LSU, no matter how much he golfs, that he's going to have a solid roster there too. But how is Brian Kelly better than a guy that's won titles, that's still coaching? Like, I'm just, It's wild to me that you could look at Kelly's resume and I see a lot of regular season wins all over. Regular season wins. Blah, blah, blah. As far as a trophy, I don't know how you put him ahead of a guy that's won multiple championships. That I just can't. You got to give me the calculation of how you're doing this that ends up with Kelly, who's never won a major bowl game, ahead of a guy who has multiple championships in his rack. So I'll never understand that. Pete. Good morning, Pete. Happy Friday, buddy.
Good morning, John. Happy Friday to you. Wanted to say great job by you and everyone who helped with the tailgate. And for anyone out there who listens to the show who's never been to one, highly recommend going to John's Tailgates. They do an awesome job.
Hey, thank you, Pete. And Pete, yay, man. You're the one. You brought a bunch of people that are now in the circle. You know, like I met you through the show and everything. And then I met some of the people you're friends with, and now they come to all the tailgates. It's a beautiful thing, Pete. We are expanding the circle. It's beautiful to see.
Yes, sir, it is. Concerns I have are basically the same ones you have. Offensive line,
yep,
and wide receivers. I mean,
yep,
are the two big ones for me.
Me too.
Here's something I thought about now, too. How's it going to be for Joe Alt going to play in for a normal guy like Marcus Freeman to play in, as you say, a guy from another planet in Jim Harbaugh?
You know what I tweeted, Pete? Right when Harbaugh picked him, I went to Twitter and I said, Jim Harbaugh's going to get more normal simply by Joe Alt's presence in the building. Like Joe Alt is just so like level and just, you know what you get every day and he goes to work. Like he's going to rub off his normalcy on Harbaugh just by proxy, just by him being in the building. He's going to make Harbaugh more normal. Now, Pete, think about this though. You and I have talked a lot about Michigan and Harbaugh over the years. Think about this, Pete. It makes a lot of sense that Harbaugh would go for Joe Alt. He didn't need a quarterback because he's got a Herbert. So he didn't need to get in that six quarterbacks going in the top 14 picks. He didn't have to do that. So it makes total sense Harbaugh would pick an offensive lineman because that's Harbaugh's DNA. Didn't they run the ball like 32 times in a row against Penn State or something? Like, it makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that's one thing I can't blame Harbaugh for, give him hard time for, is the guy loves to run the ball. And unlike Notre Dame, when they've been doing it lately, they've been doing it against really like some good teams and making it work. So I'm happy for Joe Alt and Harbaugh take care of him out there, you know, in the NFL. And Joe Alt's just going to go do what Joe Alt does, you know. But it is funny to me, like, yes, our guy went in the top five. And then it's like, oh, man, he went to this weirdo. But Harbaugh loves to run the ball. He loves offensive line play. And I do respect that part of it, that he respects O-line play a lot and wanted a Notre Dame guy. And I love that. Also, here's something else I'm going to mention while, actually, go ahead, Pete. Oh, IO Podcast, I got something for you. Stay with me in a minute. Pete, thank you. Thank you for coming to the tailgate, and for being involved. I know you got a little autograph action there. Got Goolsby's autograph on the old football, I think. We had a good time.
Yep.
But Pete, then everybody went their separate ways and went into the ball game. I would love to know your thoughts. What are some reactions you have from Blue and Gold? What did you love? What are you not sure what to make of? Anything that made you nervous? Like, what are your big takeaways? The way I put it, Pete, is I want to know what the fans are thinking when they leave the game and they're driving home. And all that excitement dies down and it's just you in your car, not much going on. What was in your mind? Love to know.
Well, the running game, I think we have great running backs all around.
Yeah.
The quarterback situation, I feel pretty good about, actually. And go that these other guys can do a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, I think starting in 2025, CJ Carr is your starting quarterback.
You think so? What can you tell me what it is about it, Pete? Do you feel like he's advanced for a guy that young as far as like control of the offense, poise back there, reading things, the timing, all the things that a young quarterback has to learn? Is it just the way he throws the ball looks a little different to you? Like there's a comfort to the way he spins it where it looks almost effortless. Like what is it?
Yeah. I mean, he did not look like a deer in headlights out there. He just looked like he knew what he was doing, and he's only going to get better with experience.
Yeah.
And he's already off to a great start.
Yeah.
Concerns I had a little bit, but these are correctable. I mean, the two bad snaps that we had on offense, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And too many times where we were jumping off sides or too much pre-snap movements.
Yeah.
And that it has to get corrected.
You know, that's a spring thing, and I'm counting that stuff will be cleaned up. I really am. Pete, here's something else that's been in my mind. Later in the game, the wide receiver shaked loose a little bit more. They made some more exciting plays later in the second half of that game, getting behind the defense and some deeper action shots, that kind of thing. But they were also going against the second and third string defense. And is that why they got open? Like, should we dial back like our excitement about that? To me, Pete, I see flashes with these wide receivers, but I'm not quite sure I could count on it to be consistent. There's a lot of like flashing and disappearing through the spring. I need that unit to be more consistent week into week out. And I don't know if we're going to get that. Also, a lot of the leadership on that wide receiver room, they're going to be younger guys, Pete. Jaden Greathouse is in. He was the most consistent guy beginning to spring to end, looking to emerge as a leader, as a true sophomore. Like that room, I could see what they're trying to do, but it's just still not an ideal situation.
I agree with you. I mean, but also keep in mind, I mean, Jaden Thomas wasn't out there.
It's true.
Cam Williams was not out there. Bo Collins was not out there.
That's
so
fair.
You were seeing maybe guys who would not be out there as regularly.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally right. You're totally right about that. That's very fair. I have my anxieties. Yeah. Phase on two. I have my anxieties, Pete. So that room's going to be better. It's a matter of how much better. What about on defense, Pete? Here's my thought, man. That defense, they're going to be really, really good. It's just a matter of how good they're going to be. Like, they are going to be really, really solid. I just want to know how far they could take it.
I think they should be very solid, too. I mean, with having Al Golden another year on his belt working with these guys, and obviously Freeman being a defensive-minded coach. I feel obviously very good about the secondary. The linebackers sounds like they're really going to be good.
Pete, how do you figure out what linebackers to play when? Like, they have literally like six or seven guys that you could feel comfortable running out there depending on package and what you're trying to do. And you feel really good about the blend of all of them. Like, I am really excited. That group's got a lot of talent. A lot of them are young and athletic. I think you're going to see a lot out of that group. And then also some of the D-line guys besides Cross and Mills, like Anya, guys like that, if they can emerge, that's how this defense takes another step.
Yeah. I mean, I feel Traore, but I feel good about,
man, yeah, seriously, Anya, Traore, like what's Christian Gray going to explode into this year? These are young guys. What does KVA do? Cause you can't keep him off the field. He's too damn good already. Like, those are all new names added to this defense where we already like it. It should be awesome.
Jalen Snead's going to play a lot more this year too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oben, I like him. I mean, one guy I'd like to see more consistent production out of is Jordan Botello.
It's his time, man. So, we're past his time, Pete. How many times have we been like, if only Botello could be that guy that blows up the quarterback and does – it's his time. It's his time to shine. I think I heard he thinned up a little bit, lost a little bit of weight to be more leaner, getting around the edge, whatever. Like, it's his time to let it rip. But if you could get some production out of those newer big name, like newer names – Traore, Anya, baby. Pete, I'm interested. This should be a really interesting defense. Look at this. Kent Jackson, sorry, John. I think those linebackers are trash. Save this chat. I'd like to come back to it. Ooh, baby. Kent, come on, man. That's brutal. Notre Dame people like this linebacker situation. A lot of options.
Yes, absolutely. And I heard what you were saying also before I came on too, or before I got on with you too. Who do they rank as the number one head coach in college football? Kirby Smart?
Yeah. But I just don't.
I'm with you. I don't.
Pete, how can you put Brian Kelly ahead of a guy that won multiple championships? I don't understand. What's the equation? What are the inputs to the equation that puts Kelly ahead of a guy who's won national titles and more than one? What are you typing in your iPhone calculator that shoots out that Kelly's better than a guy that's won multiple championships? And the multiple's important to me because it shows that it isn't just like one lucky year, everything breaks your way and you win it. You got more than one. You got to show me the equation other than golf scores that you plug in your computer that ends up with Kelly ahead of a guy with multiple titles. I don't understand it. I never will.
And like you said before, the campingworld.com bowl is not a big win.
Bro, it's just not. So whatever, man. But Kelly gets ranked high on all of those lists. And then, Pete, let me ask you this. Somebody put in the chat, John, what do you make of Notre Dame fans not liking that when On3 did that list of the top 25 head coaches, Freeman wasn't on it? On Twitter, there were some Notre Dame fans pushing back on that, and they didn't like that. Pete, my reaction is, I have no problem with Freeman not being on that list yet because he has not achieved enough to rise on that list yet. I have no issue with that at all. He's in year three, and we haven't gotten where we want to be in the first 2 years. There's really no reason that Freeman deserves to be on that list because of where he's at in his career and what he's done so far. That didn't rub me the wrong way at all.
I agree. Because he's only been coaching 2 years. I mean, he's still – in its own way, unproven.
Yeah. So I have no issue with that at all. Pete, are you a little surprised that we have not had more portal action?
As far as guys leaving our program?
Guys leaving or coming in. I just expected a lot more activity from Notre Dame with guys leaving and coming in. We just haven't seen it, and I feel like everybody's been kind of waiting for it, and we just haven't gotten it yet. So I don't know what the deal is, but I mean, I expect some movement at some point. I don't know, more movement.
I do too. Well, I mean, we saw Micah Bell put his name in the portal. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if we're over the roster limit right now, because I think we are. So I think we'd have to see some. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would think it would have to come sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I would. I'm just a little surprised. I figured there would be more guys right away that would like go. Yeah, people are talking about BK getting ghosted by Jaden Daniels last night. Did I miss that? Did he like go to dap up Kelly or Kelly went to like congratulate him and he walked right by him? This is the kind of thing I'm very interested in. Did I miss that? Did he just like walk by the guy or what? Was I watching the wrong channel for the coverage that didn't show that? I just want to know. So yeah, Pete, I expected a little more action. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, is Notre Dame looking to find a proven tackle? It wouldn't be easy to do to find a good one in the portal. So I don't know, man.
Agreed. Well, yeah, I mean, was this list of the top coaches done with SEC bias too, you wonder?
Hey, you know, that's a fair question, because a lot of times I think everything done in college football is done with an SEC bias and a tinge of Big Ten bias now, since those are the two power players. So I don't know, Pete. I feel, here's my overall takeaway, man, is I feel like on both sides of the ball, this Notre Dame team has more players that can make big splash game-changing plays than we've had recently on both sides of the ball. There's just more of those guys that I think can have a splash impact, instead of it being like there's one or two guys on each side of the ball that when they get it, something big could happen. I just think this team's getting more well-rounded and there's more guys that can contribute in a big way. I really believe that.
I mean, I like him, and of course, I know you love Marcus Freeman too. Could you imagine Frank Leahy coaching this team?
I want to imagine Frank Leahy just being alive. I just miss him. I just miss him. I could, man, Frank Leahy in the modern era, it would be really, really interesting. The game's changed quite a bit since then, Pete.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it how you parked not super far from his statue, too.
I told you, Pete.
Well lined up with.
I told you. I said we're lining up right on Frank, and there's some synergy there. I wanted to line us up right in line with Frank. One, so it's easy for people to find us, and we had the flags, which make it pretty easy. And number two, it's just in my heart, Pete. I want to be right down the line from Frankie, and when I walked in the stadium, me and Jack Sacco went right up there, took a bunch of pictures, say hi to Frank, man. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It was nice to meet for the first time Mrs. Always Irish, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a rough life, Pete, to sign on to all the stuff that comes with me. It's a rough life. That's why I live in the basement half the hours of the day. You know what I mean? It's just like, if you're going to be weird about football, just go downstairs and don't come up. But we had a great time, man. It was good for my brother to be there. I really appreciate him coming. Man, he surprised us and last minute came from Florida and was like, I can't miss this. I want to help you guys set up and do all that stuff. Means the world to me. So we had a great time. Family had a great time.
And you sold out of all of your dog bandanas too?
Pete, they're all gone. Everyone we brought, what did we bring? 50, 75. We brought a lot of them. Everyone sold out. People were asking for more. People were donating extra money to go to the charity cause. Really good response to that. You never know how it's going to go when you do something like that. We sold them all out and everybody wanted to help the charity cause. So I feel good we were able to get our hand in that too, and what we were doing. It was a beautiful thing, man.
Absolutely. I mean, well, we didn't have rain, sleet, and hail and snow this time either.
Yeah. It was a beautiful. Oh, somebody said they sent me the ghosting picture of Kelly on Twitter. Thank you, Beefeater. I really appreciate it. I'm so petty with this shit. That's exactly what I want to see on a Friday. Like, I'm not going to lie. I want to see that. Like, that's how petty I am with Kelly. I'll check it out for sure. And here's the other thing, Pete. I don't know if you guys noticed this, if you noticed at home or anything watching. Did you guys see Denbrock there? Denbrock was rocking with the LSU, all the LSU offensive guys that got drafted. My man Denbrock looked good in that suit, baby. It's just, Pete, it's great. A week ago, my radio partner, my content partner, Goolsby, was leaned up to the bar talking to Denbrock about Notre Dame football, what the plans are. And then a week later, I'm watching the guy on TV with all these guys. It's beautiful, man. So I love seeing Denbrock there. He looked clean and he looked good in that suit. I just wanted to be with more Notre Dame offensive people moving forward. But I love seeing Denbrock there. Loved it.
Hopefully that will be the case. I mean, like you said, with guys like quarterbacks, not just O-line and quarterbacks, receivers, running backs.
Yeah.
That's, not just O-line and tight ends.
Yeah, that's the next step. You know you got tight ends you could put in the league. You know you got the O-line lineage. It's time to start getting some of those skill guys cranked up. That's the next step, Pete. It's got to be, right?
Yeah. Well, thinking about something that's gotten you worked up a little bit here, too.
Oh, boy.
The next two seasons, 2024, we got Florida State coming to South Bend. In 2025, we got Purdue coming to South Bend.
No, Pete, come on, man, At least with Florida State being at home, they're not going to be able to do the stupid chant the whole game and all do it together. We're going to break up their section, make them spread out. And I don't want them to get it going. Get out of my stadium. Get out of my stadium. Anyways, and then don't get me started. Don't get me started with that stupid drum. All Purdue's known for is engineer a smaller drum. It is not my problem. We're not being rude that we can't accommodate your 80-foot drum. Get over it.
I like how you even said we should make a smaller visitor's locker room entrance and exit for them, too.
Dude, Pete, I have no patience for some of this stuff. And you are just dropping those bombs on me on a Friday morning just to get my blood pressure going, Pete. Come on.
I just think it's funny hearing your reaction on those, that's all.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man. Yeah. Those Ohio State people, Florida State people, I just can't. I want it to be cold. It's November 9th. What is it? November 9th we play them. I want it cold, man.
Yeah.
It's early November, but I hope it's cold and rainy, that late October kind of cold rain. I want some of that for Florida State coming.
And it'll be a night game, most likely, you figure, too.
Oh, my gosh, Pete.
So no,
Pete.
Adam, no sunlight.
Adam Dowling just wrote, what's worse, the Florida State or the USC fight song the entire game? Bro, both of them are worse. They're equal worse. I can't stand either one because they never mix it up. Play a different tune. Play a different tune once in a while. That goes to both of those clown groups.
But remember, John, you remember opening weekend last year, you were cheering for Florida State against LSU, and you even thought about going out and getting a horse or a drum or something.
Dude, that's how you know John's in a rough spot, when I'm rooting for Florida State. But if it's against the aspiring golf pro here, Brian Kelly, I have no choice but to root for Florida State. I was out there. I got my war paint on. I was shooting bow and arrows around the living room, and I was going all night.
Well, it's a foregone conclusion you would root for them against Michigan, too.
I'm telling you, man, I got beef with so many people. I'm so petty with the things that make me mad. It's hilarious. Like, and I don't even deny it. I'm openly petty with so many things. Mikey Pohl says, I'd like to see John play Kelly in golf. I'm telling you what, I ain't giving him no gimmies. I am giving Brian Kelly no gimmies. You are putting every ball out and you're playing it as it lies, bud.
If he hits it into the woods, he plays it out of the woods then too, right?
He plays it out of the woods, man. He plays it. Pat, you don't know how good Kelly is. You have no idea, Pat. You have absolutely no idea how good Brian Kelly is. Just because you see him with the golf club in his hand every day doesn't mean he's good at it. I'm telling you that right now. Oh, so Pete, I don't know, man. It's going to be a long summer. I'm not looking forward to it, quite frankly. I have no baseball to look forward to. My summer is ruined. I just need it to be August so Notre Dame can get back to business. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, you got a little over 4 months to the opening game, John.
Oh, boy. It's going to be a long summer, Pete, and I'm going to have some Notre Dame anxiety. So I don't know. And then, you know, summer though, we'll get some recruiting boosts. That is one thing that comes. Usually we get into that spot in June. There's a couple week window where Notre Dame gets a lot of action. So we'll have some good recruiting news on 20, rounding out 25 and getting ahead on 26. So you'll have some of that going on. And I don't know, man. It's just going to be a long summer waiting for football to come back.
Yeah. 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 And your tailgate is what, the 21st of September?
It's going to be, Miami, Ohio. Yep.
Nice. So hopefully you get a nice crowd for that one. I liked the end of the tailgate speech you and Pat each gave.
Those are fun.
Last week.
Yeah, those are fun, man. And I just, that old thing's so much fun, Pete. I love those tailgates. It's just bringing all those people together. That's what it's all about. I love it.
Yeah, you even put a preview or a preview to one of your shows and people were loudly stating the things that you say at the beginning of each show too.
I got to give Always Irish Senior the credit on that one. He did the DJing there and pulled that up, and it was the perfect introduction to us doing our little thing, man. It was really a good idea. So good job, Always Irish Senior.
Absolutely. And your mom did a great job with her stuff. So, hot dogs and all the food was good.
Hey man, we had a good plan and everybody executed it pretty well. It was like the opposite of us playing Louisville last year. What else can I tell you?
We don't even want to think about that again.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? So Pete, I don't know, man, we'll get together soon this summer. Have Tommy and Carissa come up from where they're at. We'll get over to Notre Dame for a day or two. Maybe we do that this summer.
That would be good. And, of course, I know you'll stop by the statue, of course.
Always got to stop by old Frankie. But I got to tell you, Pete, means the world to me. I'm glad you were there. I appreciate it very much. Anything on the way out, brother?
Just keep the great show going and great to be part of your activities, and thanks for allowing me to be part of your activities.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for always being a part of everything and bringing more people in the group. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Pete. Have a good weekend, bud.
That's right.
Oh, I like that. Take it easy, Pete. Oh, Pete loves Notre Dame so much. It warms my little heart. He loves Notre Dame so much. Not just Notre Dame football. That guy's all over everything, man. Going to all the women's games, going to all the activities. Oh, boy. Look at this. Look at this. This is unbelievable. John, sorry I didn't make the tailgate. However, knowing my stingy self, I wouldn't have brought anything anyway, so I don't think you missed out. Whoever is running this account, I really have to credit their dedication to the bit, their dedication to the cause of acting like Jerry Reinsdorf in every single way. What are we, 3-22 now? Lost a good day game on the getaway day yesterday. And the other thing is Minnesota's not even good at all. Minnesota's not good at all. And they just mowed right through the White Sox. And they got like the Yankees coming up. Even though the Rays are in like last place in their division, they're above 500. Like it's going to go. They're going to go 3-200, I think. Unbelievable. Kent, I can't believe you're ripping. Kent. That's one of the things Notre Dame fans and media, I think, feel feel the best about is the depth and everything over there. Man. All right, we got a couple super chats, and then I'm going to get back to Eric. Tom Chris, $24.88, $20 hour. Hey, great time at the tailgate. Good to see y'all again. Can't wait till the next time. Keep up the good work. What's up, Pete? Go Irish. Telling you, man, you guys are great. They came, they've been at the NIL event. Tommy and Chris have been to the NIL event, been to this tailgate. They handmade like just this awesome stuff. I'm going to do a little video showing some of the stuff people brought and left for me. Handcrafted, always Irish stuff that they put a lot of time into. They were helping just the nicest people in the world. We're finding a good group, man. Really means the world to me to have you guys there. $5 holler from the chief. Part and parcel of the coddling segment. Saw some indie fans mad. Freeman wasn't in the top 25 head coaching ranks published by On3. Why would they? Totally agree. If you really wanted to look at some of the accomplishments on the lower guys on that list, you could probably find a way to say Freeman's done something different or more, won more games or whatever. I don't know. But of all the things I could get mad at in Notre Dame land and with college football, I ain't getting mad if he ain't on that list. If you tell me he hasn't done enough to be on it, I'd say you're probably right. I have no issue with that. And I'm a guy that has an issue with a lot of things. You know me, I can find a reason to get mad at anything. And if I can't think of something, give me another minute. I'll come up with something. Well, like, hasn't done enough to be on that list. Look at the $10 holler from my main man, Martinez. September 21st, can't come soon enough. I can't wait. Miss the B&G. I won't miss that one. Oh, baby. We're going to tear up the town on that day, Sonny. I can't wait. Look at this. Still shocked. Only one guy at the portal last week. Very strange because I'm sure there'll be more. I don't know, man. I thought it was possible. I thought it was possible that you could. John orders his hot dog neat. Bro, I don't know what that means as far as how that drink analogy transfers over to a hot dog. Here's how I order a hot dog. Give me a hot dog and let me dump one little line of ketchup on it and then I eat the hot dog. That's it. Oh, John, that's not Chicago style. I don't care. It's my style. You don't need anything else than a hot dog. A wiener, some bread, and ketchup. That's all you need. Anything else is uncivilized. You're just being too fancy. Oh, you don't need a garden growing out of your hot dog. Just eat the damn hot dog. Anyways, stop pump fake. And soon as I tune in, it's BK, 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 BK. Let's go. Here's my question. Stop pump faking. We were debating how Brian Kelly ended up ranked number 2 on the best active coaches list behind guys that have won multiple championships. I don't get it. I don't understand it. What is this? Get some push-ups in, Brother John. What are you saying? You don't like my string bean frame? I told you guys this. There was a time in my 20s where I tried to gain muscle and weight. Okay? And I was doing the pre-workout, like whatever it is, whatever the pre-workout stuff is, you mix it in your drink and it feels all tingly and then you're all jacked up on creatine, ready to go. I was pounding the whey protein and stuff. Getting up at like 6:30 in the morning and going to the gym before class and doing all that, okay? And I beefed up. You're not going to believe it, but I literally beefed up. Like gained weight, gained mass, upper body, like a little muscle. But the problem is, you guys, I never will eat enough calories to maintain any kind of muscle. I just don't. I don't eat enough calories to ever maintain any weight I put on. It just burns off. So I gave up on the muscle thing. I don't intake enough calories in a day to ever keep up the weight. And I'm not just going to drink whey protein shakes all day. Like, bro, what am I doing? Trying out for American Gladiators, bro? Come on. I don't, like, there's no purpose for me to try and even do that anymore. I'm just going to stay skinny, man. Mikey Poles, do you want to train me? How about that? You could train me and we'll put on some weight. It would probably actually be funny content if somebody tried to train me and I did that. Dude, I want to do Stop It, John Batista. I want to, that's another segment here. John, the food critic. I think we need to make that a thing. Maybe you guys, I'll sell you roids. You guys think I have an anger problem already? Wait till they jack me up with some steroids. Just picture it. Look at me now. Look at the way I operate now. And imagine me juicing. Dude, I would be like, I'd just be slamming everything in you. I'd just be punching the screen. I'd break this other screen over my leg. How dare you not get that fourth and short? Ah! I'm going to do the Ultimate Warrior thing where he's just shaking on the roids there. Ugh. Oh, boy. By the way, Ultimate Warrior, bro, one of the worst actual wrestling workers of all time. It's actually unbelievable how much fame the Warrior got when he was technically one of the worst wrestlers to ever be at the level he was at ever. He just had the look. In terms of work, bad worker. Like, just not even close to being a technical worker that should be at that level, the WWF. It was amazing. Kent, how did you come across this pod? That is a good question. Was it because we were playing Ohio State? You'll be the same size as Goolsby. Am I going to gain height? That's the other problem. I need to gain like 7 inches then too. I'm just not big enough. I'm just not big enough. Roid Rage John would be a character arc for the history books. I have some serious concerns about that because of the way that I already am with my normal predisposition for excitability. I just kind of worry about what that would do. I would be all just like my eyes would be twitching. Oh my gosh. That's funny. Oh man. Yeah, he died of a heart attack. I can definitely understand why. So many of those wrestlers had so many problems. So many of them got addicted to the pain pills and it's a rough life. All that travel and it's a rough life. Like a lot of those guys, man, very few of them were on the street and made it all the way through that. Just a rough life. Such an interesting culture. If you ever look at the podcasts with some of the old people that were involved, like Jim Ross has Kevin Nash has a podcast, and like you just, the culture, it's just its own thing. All right. I want to go over this draft, but before I do, I hope Eric's still here. Want to talk to you guys about the College Huddle. There he is. Eric's here. College Huddle is Eric, the Ohio podcast that you see in here that's always nice and gracious to this show. The College Huddle is Eric's baby, and he has put all of this together, a website with all of these different podcast shows, YouTubers. I can tell Google has seen my recent search history. Look what's up here. I'm looking at that Q. I'm looking at that Q on the left. That's calling my name. Eric has and his team have put all of this together to build a community of YouTubers and podcasters that just want to talk about college football, collaborate. I'm happy to be a part of it, help some of the younger guys along building their channels. We'll have the Texas A&M guy on here. Hopefully we could talk about, you know, their spring and do all that. But make sure you give it a look. A ton of work went into this from Eric, putting it all together. Go give him a look. Look at these other shows that overlap with Notre Dame. I'm going to have to get some of them on here in the in the summer to get that going. But really good people involved, genuine people that love football like we do, want to talk about their team, their conference. A lot of work went into this from Eric and his people. Happy to be involved, but I'm not going to act like I did that groundwork. So really, really a big project by Eric there, just out of love for college football. That's it. It ain't like anybody's making $1 million off any of these projects. It's off and out of pure love for college football. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And Eric is a really good guy, and I'm going to support anything he's trying to do because I believe in him and his energy and his vibe. A good dude. A good dude. I still struggle a little bit being that close with an Ohio State guy, but it's just, I can't help it. Good people are good people, but it pisses me off. It does. It pisses me. And you know what else is going on here? Here's the other thing that's really blowing my mind. I got this going on with Eric, and I got something else I'm negotiating with the Michigan guy too. I don't know what the hell's going on here. I got this going on with Eric and Ohio State guy, and I'm literally having discussions with somebody else about something else, and it's a Michigan guy. What is going on? Am I losing my edge? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Eric, I don't want you to change. I just, existentially, I just wonder what's going on when I start becoming friends with all these enemies. No, it's not Stevie boy. It isn't Stevie Wonder. Oh, Stevie Sunshine. Steve. Steve's over there, you know, downplaying all of the Michigan wrongdoing and everything. Get it all now. Just get the win now. Deal with the consequences later. That was Stevie Sunshine's line all year. And then now that it's happened, now he's complaining. Why aren't we getting recruits? Oh, we're not getting enough recruits. Da-da-da-da. Like he didn't know there was going to be a fallout. Nobody wants to go play football there when they're not going to be eligible to be in the playoff for multiple years because they have a bowl ban. You don't get it all, Steve. You don't get it all. You don't get to bend the rules, win the title, and then think there's nothing coming back to you on the back end. That ain't how the real world works. Okay? That's the thing. They want it all. They want it all. They want to cheat, bend the rules, do whatever, and then win the title, and then they're acting offended that there are consequences to those actions. Kent, he is a dork. He is a dork. And you know what else gets me about that podcast too, Kent? I don't know if you dug into it enough to know this or not. He's all about religion. Steve made his bones on the internet not talking about football. He's a political guy and a very, very outspoken religious one on a major network. That's how he made it on YouTube. It wasn't yelling about football. It was all of the religious, political stuff he's involved in. And you know what's funny about that? He's all about family values, doing things the right way. Where's the morality in the world today? You know, people need to follow the good book and all that stuff. He's on one channel saying that. Then he logs out and logs into the Michigan podcast. And it's fine. The Michigan does whatever they want to do to try and win. And he has no moral issues with it at all. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Seriously, that's the part that gets me with Steve is it one channel's all about morality and politics, and it needs to be all through the eyes of God and treating people the right way, doing the right thing. And then he logs into the football channel and Michigan does no wrong and everybody's cheating and it's totally fine what you did and whatever. I can't handle it, man. I can't handle it. Buying recruits burgers is a sin, John. I wasn't even, that particular sin didn't even register in my brain. That ain't the one I'm talking about. I got bigger fish to fry than a double cheeseburger. That ain't the one I'm talking about. Oh, boy. Well, now let's think about this, Jay Carr. Think about this. This does exist. This does exist. They need to make a barrier of entry to make a podcast harder. Here's the thing, though. There is a barrier of entry. It's called, if you make a podcast and nobody's watching, then it gets no reach and nobody's watching. And then nobody could be mad about it. Like, are you following me, Jay Carr? Do you get what I mean? Like, anybody can make a podcast, but if it gets no run, nobody knows you have a podcast. So it kind of it's kind of gone anyways. So there is kind of a barrier. It's called, if nobody watches and your show doesn't grow, you waste your time every day talking to yourself. Bro, I remember the first couple shows I did in 2016, and I'm like messaging my brother and my parents like, you think you guys can pull this up so I could get my first view? like, bro, that's literally how it is when you're trying to grow this. The V1 rotate. $5 holler. I didn't realize Joe Alt was a giant. He has such a baby face. Here's my Joe Alt story. I've told it before. And I got to get to this draft. I got talking. The phones aren't popping today. I got to get to this draft. My dog is a podcast now. What does he say? What's it about? Arf! Arf! That's the other thing. Roger Dodger, good to see you here. Do younger people realize Joe Alt's dad? Like, I don't know if younger Notre Dame fans even realize the lineage here, like the genes, the lineage here of Joe Alt's dad and then Joe Alt. Like, I don't know if people understand that. Here's my Joe Alt story. A couple years ago, blue and gold party, tailgate party. After the game, where I was at this event, players were going to come by after the blue and gold game. So they have like post-game food. I'm drinking my Miller Lights, whatever's left in the barrel. I ain't leaving them. I'm drinking the free Miller Lights. And some of the players were going to like come over right after blue and gold, hang out, sign autographs, whatever. And you know me, I'm in this tent and I'm drinking my Miller Lite and I'm running my stupid mouth to everybody around. Oh yeah, how are we going to be this year? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm minding my own business, running my mouth. I literally turn around and I bump right into Joe Alt. And I just remember turning around, bumping into him and looking up. It was like, you ever see those pictures of Andre the Giant with a little kid? Like in an airport or something, or a picture. Stephanie McMahon has a bunch of pictures from when she was young, growing up in the business and with Andre. Like, dude, that's what I felt like. It was just almost hard to believe it's a real person. He's like four of me. And I turned and I bumped into him and then I just looked up. And I just kept looking up. It was like Andre the Giant. I mean, I was almost embarrassed to keep looking at him, but I couldn't stop looking at him because he's such a physical specimen and I'm just not used to seeing humans that big in real life. Massive, massive dude. Nick Dean, you love to be heard and seen. And I got to tell you, you and the wife are lovely. You and the wife are lovely. Just absolutely wonderful people. Bring a smile to my face every time I see you guys. every time I see the Deans, and Nick, your wife tells me something that like sticks in my brain and my heart. She always pulls me aside and gives me like some message about what I'm doing and connecting it all with the, she's got a touch, Nick. Like every time I see her, she pulls me aside and has something really like motivational to tell me or sweet. It really, I appreciate it a lot. I really do. And Joe fell down. I think it was actually the same tailgate where I think it was the same tailgate where Buckner was in the brace. I'm pretty sure that was the one that I saw Buckner in the foot brace. And I'm like, buddy, you shouldn't be at this tailgate event. You should be running around out there, man. I just, man. Yeah, Nick, your wife's brain is, Nick, your wife's, she, her brain length, like wavelength is just, it operates on a different prism than where mine's capable of. Does that make sense? Like she's, her brain waves are at a different level, and it's just a beautiful thing. Mark, I'd call the pushback against Andrew, but last time somebody said I sounded like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh and I still haven't recovered. Mark with glasses, you have a reputation to uphold. I mean, you are just like, you're Mark with glasses. Like if you lined up 50 of the guys that were at our tailgate, like 50 of them, and you just lined them up and you told a random person, find the one in this group whose screen name would be Mark with glasses. You would go right to Mark with glasses. He's just, Mark with glasses looks like a guy whose screen name would be Mark with glasses. I don't know any other way to say it. It's just true. He just looks like a guy named Mark with glasses. And I love him. You know why? Nick Dean's wife's on a different wavelength intellectually and spiritually. Like that's clear to me. Mark thinks so much like me with certain things that I almost feel bad for him. Like, see, I'm not kidding you. Mark's brain operates in so many levels that relate to me that I fear for his sanity and the well-being of his family. Like, because he thinks like me way too much. Way too much, man. What is this? I don't think I could go to an Always Irish event without a wife. Lots of people do. Lots of people do. We have everything. We have everything. That's one of my favorite things about our events. We get everything. Families with young kids, older retired people, Notre Dame alums, people my age, college age. We got everything in between. We got everything. We got everything. John, how do you lose 7 games in 2 seasons with 3 guys in the top 23? I don't know. Ask my caddy, Adam. Ask my caddy as I make the turn how that happens. I don't know. Oh, Mark. Mark, I love you. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. All right. Let's do this draft thing. Anybody? Calls? Call lines are open for a Friday. Not a lot of action. Feel free to hop in if you want. Number one, the Bears take Caleb. Everybody knew it. There was really no doubt. It was fully expected. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really, really interesting. I don't know how it's going to go, but Caleb in Chicago in that media market, it's going to be wild. Good or bad, it's going to be really wild. And I'm here for the ride because you know why? I told you guys, I'm not emotional with the NFL. I'm not emotional. I watch every Bears game, follow all their news. I just don't care. It just doesn't affect my emotions. So I'm fine with the Caleb. Like, it's not, I don't have the religious, like a fanatic emotional attachment to the Bears that I do Notre Dame. So it's going to be really, really interesting. Really interesting. Francis says, I'm on the line for the first time, Brother John. Let me slide in. I don't got no missed call. There's nobody on the call waiting list. Are you playing games? I got no calls waiting. What gives? So that's the deal with Caleb, but it isn't a surprise at all. I'm on. What are you talking about? Let's see. Dude, I just hit refresh and now I'm seeing a bunch of calls that are waiting. What's going on with my system, bro? What's your number, man? What's your area code? I just hit refresh and now I have all these calls waiting, but it looked like nobody was calling me today. What the hell's going on? Dude, this is really upsetting to me. I was sitting here going, nobody wants to talk to John on a Friday. This show must suck. And then I got all these calls waiting, but I had to refresh my screen. That's never happened before. This is hilarious. You have White Sox internet. Mark, God, that hurts. That strikes me so hard in my little baseball, little Johnny soul growing up, loving playing baseball. I got loser internet. 216, what's going on?
Brother John, what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for jumping in. How did you find that? How did you find us? Or what? How did you get into this mix? Thanks for joining.
John, check this out, John. I've been listening. I usually listen to your show after the fact, so I'm never live with you because I never understand how these people can take off work for 2 hours and interact. But I'm working, but I had to pick my daughter up early from school. So I hit the gym and I'm on the way to the school now. So I was able to slide in with you. But I've been listening for the last two summers, man, when you guys started with Ohio State and y'all was talking real bad about Ohio State, but I couldn't get enough listening to you and your boy Pat O'Malley over there talking like USC was better than Ohio State and you know, what has Ohio State ever done? And I'm like, man, they got more playoff appearances, wins, and championships than all those teams combined until Michigan, of course, started doing their thing. So
yeah,
I don't know, but I had to hit you up, man. Hey, I had to hit you up, and I've been listening.
I appreciate it, man. Dude, it's a little weird to me. Over the years, we've gained some fans from some other teams, and I do like having them in the mix. It's a healthy blend when you got some Ohio State people in here, when you got some Michigan people in here. Of course, I got the LSU people that I got beef with now, you know, with the Notre Dame-Kelly connection. It makes for a healthier ecosystem, though, when you got to have some other things mixed in, man. It'd be boring if everybody just thought the way I did about everything. That's a boring show.
So, yeah, no. I agree with you. And like I said, last couple of summers, you got us through the summer, John. So kudos. And I hope, you know, my listens and all of our listeners is making you a lot of money over there in Illinois. But listen to this. So I play ball. I'm from Cleveland. I play ball at Ashland University. D2 school, nothing big. But my DB coach, I was corner. My DB coach was a guy named Cleanskill, Steve Cleanskill. He's with the Chargers now with Harbaugh, but he's been with Michigan the last 3 years. Big imprint on my life. You know, I played for him when I was in college. Anyways, besides all the cheating and everything like that, the biggest thing for Michigan, A, was the COVID year. They dodged the bullet. Harbaugh would have got fired.
Yep.
Sure. Yeah, they played Ohio State.
Yeah, didn't they say that we don't have enough guys? Everybody's sick. Didn't they pull that card?
Well, after they lost to Penn State, apparently they all went out and got COVID. They probably had COVID, but they didn't keep them isolated where they would be able to finish off their season. But they didn't want to see Ohio State that year. It would have been all bad. But that summer, talking from 20 to 21, Harbaugh hired a bunch of new coaches. Clink was one of them. And I was like, well, the one thing I know Clint can do, he can recruit. And he's gonna instill toughness within the secondary. He was a secondary corners coach up in Michigan. And like I said, he's with the Chargers now. But that's part of it. They did get tougher. I'll give them that. And they did have help with all the advanced scouting and all that stuff. But still, I don't care. There's no excuse for us to get beat up like that, especially with having having Stroud and all the talent that we have. But Clink, he was part of that, and I will admit that they did get tougher in bringing that culture.
Yeah, they
2021
did.
Is where it started.
They did get tougher.
They got help. Don't get me wrong. They got help with it.
Yeah.
But they did bring some culture, and they did instill it. I can confirm, Clink Scale, he one thing he demands from his players is toughness, dirtiness, nastiness. I played for him when I was in college from I graduated in 06. So from 02 to 06, I played for him, and I went to grad school, and I was a coach on the team. I even coached with a guy named LaFleur, the guy up in Green Bay. He was offensive coordinator when I was a GA in grad school in 07 and 08. But, I played with him. I went on recruiting trips with him up in Cleveland, because that's where I'm from, when I was a GA and a coach. And I know Clinsky well. So I know he had them boys out there playing. I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah.
Because he had the wrong colors on. He's from Ohio. He's from Young South.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they're actually going to nail Michigan for all the cheating stuff? Like, what do you expect? They did the Burgergate little thing they came out with the other week, but are they really going to nail them? Like meaning a multi-year bowl ban so they can't be in the playoff or take wins away? What do you think is going to actually come from this with that investigation?
Man, I'll tell you what, man, NCAA, man, they move at such a snail's pace. Now, you've seen what they're doing with Arizona State. And what they tried to do with Tennessee recently. Yeah. So, you know, that gives you hope. But it's like this, man. If they don't do anything to Michigan, Ohio State should do the same thing that they were doing. Simple as plain. If they're not going to come down with a hammer, then why not? Why would anybody else do it?
Yeah.
Is my opinion. But I think you may see something a couple years down the road. But by then, I mean, the damage is already done, man. They already didn't want it. You know, we let Michigan level up and they didn't win the championship. It don't matter now.
Yeah.
All we got to do is go pound them.
Let me ask you this too, since you're clearly a Big Ten guy. What do you make of the Big Ten expansion and all the new teams in the mix, getting rid of the divisions and having more of a everybody plays everybody, the two best teams meet at the end? If you're an Ohio State person, do you like that, or do you feel like you maybe are losing some of your grip on the power of the conference being like one of the top one or two every year, no matter what? Like, I'm trying to put myself in your guys' shoes. How do you feel about all those changes?
So a couple of things with that, John. First thing is these Pac-12 teams, USC, like you were driving me, you and Pat were driving me crazy last year talking about how good USC was. I'm like, bro. Everybody says Ohio State soft. No, USC and Lincoln Riley is the definition of soft. I don't think these Pac-12 teams are—they're going to be in for a rude awakening. I'll put it that way. I'm not so sure that they're going to come in and just dominate the way people think.
So, are you thinking? Are you thinking that those teams, even the better ones, from the schedules they're used to playing at 1 a.m. on the West Coast, they're not used to the physicality of the gauntlet of the Big Ten week in to week out? Is that kind of what they ain't built for that?
I think Oregon is trying to build like an SEC Big Ten team through the trenches, and you see them. But last year you saw them play the schedule that they played. It's not going to be like that this year. Even some of the midway Big Ten teams, the way that they play, it's just going to be a pounding, and it's not going to be the attrition. It's not going to be as easy. So they got to have their depth, build their depth up before they just come in and start running things. That's the first thing. The second thing, though, John, is this format, Ohio State is almost assuredly always going to be in the conference championship game, either replaying somebody or playing somebody new. It's not going to be where, you know, lose to scum at the end for whatever reason.
And then they're out. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
the
that makes
over
sense.
With. You win 11 games, and then the season. Yep. So that helps, but then you may have to replay somebody, Scum, Oregon, Penn State, whatever the case may be. You may have to play them again. I don't know how I feel about that, but you know it is what it is. It's changed.
Yeah,
it's inevitable.
It's going to be interesting. Do you think in the back of your mind, down the road, Notre Dame ends up in the Big Ten? It's just a matter of when, because a lot of Notre Dame fans kind of think that might be a possibility. It's a matter of when. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, John, this was my last point that I wanted to call in, and I'm glad you got me in. About Notre Dame, and I know you how you feel about Brian Kelly, but I'm telling you right now, and Marcus Freeman, he's not Irish, he's a Buckeye, but he has a ceiling until you guys come to the Big Ten or the SEC, but you're probably not going to do the SEC just because of the culture and the academics. Yeah. Until you come to the Big Ten, I know you don't want to do it. I know you don't want to do it, but until you get off of that, you're not going to be able to compete and win like you want to. The way you talk about it, you guys talk about it every week. Like, this has got to be the year. This has got to be the year. Marcus Freeman's got to do it. Well, he can only do so much. And you see it. And I know it hurts. I know it hurts listening to a guy from 30,000 feet away. But you're going to have to bite that bullet eventually. Or, like I mentioned, you may get to the playoffs. But the depth that you're going to need to win four games straight against.
Yeah.
Because think about it, John. You guys went through a stretch last year. You talk about it all the time. You played
the in a row.
Night games.
Oh, it's a good point. Yeah.
And by the end of it, it boiled up and it finally imploded. You got to have the depth. And that's what Ohio State's trying to do, build depth, because it's going to be tough going 16, 17 games, bro.
Yeah. Nope. You're right.
And
I've talked about it as well. The depth that you're going to need to build if you're Notre Dame to think you're going to make that run against top 12 teams. You're right on it, man. You're right. This is a good call. I got to give you credit. I'm glad you dialed it up, baby. I'm glad you dialed it up.
Yeah, man. I've been thinking about it. But like I said, I always listen to you after the fact, because I'm always, you know, on the phone with clients and doing business and sending emails and stuff at 10 and 11. But today I'm sitting in this car line right now. So it is what it is.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it. Thanks for jumping in. And always like adding new people to the mix. And it does mean a lot to me when non-Notre Dame people watch the show. It kind of tells me I'm doing something right just on the entertainment value part when it ain't even your team and you're willing to tune in.
I got one question for you, John. Hey, I got one more question for you real quick, because you talk about your boy Pat O'Malley and them. You guys are always on vacation. You guys are rich. Like, how much money you guys make? I'm just playing.
Oh, come on. Pat's the one. Pat's the one. Pat's the one with the dough. Pat's in a different state every month. He's in the Key West. Then he's in Arizona. Then he goes to the Masters. Pat's all over, man. Pat's got that dough.
Hey, John, I grew up in Cleveland, but I was actually born in Chicago. I used to live on 96 in Austin, South Austin. I was young before we moved to Cleveland. But I grew up in Ohio, though. But I know Chicago a little bit, so I got a lot of family out there.
Hey, man. I appreciate you. Give me a call again sometime, man. I like this call. I like getting you in the mix. Give me a call.
I hit you up.
All right. Man. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
All right, Brother John.
Take care. Man, I like that guy. All right. Did none of you guys see me spill this entire jug of water all over my desk in the middle of that phone call? It's leaking on my lap and on the floor. Did anyone see that? I literally went to go get something, knocked it over, and I have water all over. So you're going to have to give me 404. You're coming up. You got to give me 30 seconds to go in the other room and grab a towel or something. There's water all over. It was awful. And I usually have I have way above average hand-eye coordination than the regular person. That was awful. So give me a second. I spilled all over. Embarrassing. Unbelievable. What an idiot! Bro, it's like the biggest cup ever, too. And I spilled it all over. Now it's getting in my cords. Unbelievable. Good Lord. Come on, man. Oh. All right, good enough. Good enough. Water dries. Yeah, water dries in all my electronics. That water dries. Yeah, inside my computer parts. Give me a break. Oh, boy. What an idiot. He ain't got no legs. What do you mean? Where do my legs go? What are you talking about? Oh, boy. What do you mean I don't have legs? Oh, green screen. That's what it is. I got green Notre Dame shorts on, so it's blending into the green screen. That's what it is. Dude, it seriously looks like I just got sawed in half. This is awesome. Can we do something with that, Mark with glasses? Are you still here? Make me a ghost or do something creepy or decapitate me on a digital something. I just realized you guys are like, he has no legs. That's what it is. I got a green screen and green shorts. And everything's wet. My morning's off to a weird start. I don't like this. The ghost of John. Give me a break. 404. Let's see if you could help get this back on track 4-on-4. I'm a little flustered. I'm out of my routine here. I got water on my electronics. I got problems. I got Ohio State people calling me. What the hell's going on here?
As good as your ping pong game is, I figured your hand-eye coordination would be better than that.
I'm telling you, that is the most disappointing part of the mistake I made is I'm confident in saying I have way above average hand-eye coordination for my age. I can't believe I did it. I got loose water all over. Anyways,
how are you doing this morning other than that, John?
Other than that, I'm doing well. I enjoyed the draft. I thought it was entertaining. I'm looking at Notre Dame in the portal. I expect a little bit more action. Those are kind of some of the things on my mind.
Well, I've been, listening for quite some time, and I pick up stuff here or there that I just kind of touch on when I call in. And one thing that all this playoff talk and all that. So I started looking back, and it looks like since 2000, the year 2000, Indy would have made a 12-team playoff based off of the last ranking prior to the bowls 9 times.
Okay. So what does that translate to? 10-2 or better every time?
Well, I'm just trying to give a perspective on several things.
Okay.
Of that 9 times, 3 of them, we would not have had a bye. Okay. So I'm just trying to throw that out there. And obviously with Kelly was there 12 years. He would have made the playoffs 5 times. All of them, we would have had a bye, with one of them being an 8 seed.
Okay. Yep. That makes sense.
And then one of them was the year that, we played the god awful easy schedule against Cincinnati.
Yeah. Couldn't handle that one.
Game was probably,
yep, Cincinnati at home.
Game was probably Oklahoma State in the bowl.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. But I just wanted to throw that out as food for thought. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about Freeman and contract extension and all that stuff. And with him going into his 4th year, I kind of feel like regardless of what happens, they'll give him at least another year, even if they realize they got to pay him out, because it's really going to hurt recruiting if they don't. And you also have these coordinators that are on, at least a 3-year deal.
My understanding of the situation is, this is year 3, not 4, right? So this is year 3 on a 6-year deal that we're entering.
Correct.
And then the way I read this year is such an important big year because this is the year they want to negotiate and maybe add on some years onto the back end of that. So it's been laid out to me that both sides are interested. There's been some initial discussions, but Notre Dame also wants a little more meat on the bone. And they're hoping that they get that they get that this year. And then they're more comfortable adding on a little bit. So
I get that.
That's
both ways.
And that's a big discussion behind the scenes. I've heard John Bryce talk about it at Football Scoop. He has a lot of the negotiation agent connections. He's talked about them, both sides being interested, but I think Notre Dame wants a little bit more skins on the wall, and I don't blame them for that at all.
No. Something else, too. I mean, obviously nobody's happy with the records and the losses that we've had over the last 2 years, but his sophomore class, the class that's going to be a sophomore, is actually going to be his true full recruiting class. So just to give you an idea that who was in that class, we got Osbury, Love, Faison, Minchie, Adon Shuler, K.K. Smith, Ben Minnick, Brendan Vernon, Greathouse, Jagasaw, Christian Gray.
Ooh, Luke Christian Pallett, Christian Gray is going to be so good.
So I guess what I'm getting at is when you listen to all those sophomores that will probably contribute heavily this season.
Oh yeah.
I got to feel like regardless of what happens, and obviously nobody wants anything bad to happen because everybody's shooting for a playoff. Everybody's shooting for a buy and a win. But to say this program's not in good shape, I would have to argue against that.
Well,
and on top of that, you got the freshman class, which a lot of them, and then also you got KK Smith in that sophomore class too.
Here's where I think you're at. I think we're about at the tipping point where that roster's really flipping over, like phasing out the early Kelly guys and getting way more heavy on Freeman and his vision and his guys. And that roster's turning over again, it more and more in Freeman's vision and all of that. And that's another reason this is such a big year, because you have another body of work of evidence of Freeman's recruits and those guys filtering through the program. And like, it's time that we pull it all together here with some better results. It's, you got to make the playoff.
Oh no, absolutely.
You got to make the damn playoff. There is no, I don't know, 11-1, whatever it ends up being. You got to make the playoff 100%. No excuses. You have to. That's where the program's at. That's where the justifiable expectations, not out of line expectations, out of hope, blind hope. Practical expectations that are reasonable for this team are make the damn playoff.
Okay. If we go, say, 10-2, what seed do you think we would get? I don't believe we would be in the top eight.
10-2, no way. 11-1, Notre Dame hosts a playoff game. 10-2, Notre Dame's going on the road.
Right.
That's just how I see it. And it's a lot different.
And I know.
It's a lot different to have that first game on the road somewhere than you hosting it at home in hopefully cold weather the first week of December. Big difference between those things.
And I know we talked about this briefly, but I would like to hear your opinion on this. If we go 10-2 and lose to USC last game of the year, do we still make the playoffs? Let's say we split. We lose the first game and lose the last game.
This is one of the biggest questions about this playoff format I have is 10-2 Notre Dame in every year? Is 10-2 Notre Dame in every year? And again, this format's going to change in another year or two or whatever anyways, but that's what I've been playing with. I went back and looked at the final like CFP rankings and like where they're at. I'm not sure if 10-2 Notre Dame's in every year or not, but I think most years they would be, but maybe not every. But most years, I think 10-2 would get him in.
And another question. Well, also just touching on the individual that called previously regarding the sign stealing. I think that once headsets come into play, the sign stealing is pretty much out the window.
Yeah. Isn't that the most logical change ever to allow them to do that? And then you just wire it in and we avoid the whole charade. We avoid all that cheating. You know what else we could avoid? All those assistant staff, support staff with the signs. One of them's really what we're running, but there's all those signs of which set they're running. You eliminate all that. Just tell the quarterback to play in his ear.
Right. And the linebacker. Exactly.
Man. Yeah, exactly. So
moving to the draft. is it surprising to you that in the first round we had six quarterbacks and six offensive tackles taken?
On my notes, discussing the draft, one of the things I was going to bring up to the group was in the first 14 picks, they were all offensive players, and there was six quarterbacks taken just in the first 14. What do we make of that collectively as football fans? Do you think that's just random the way it worked out this year? Or does it tell you something that 14 picks in a row were all on the offensive side of the ball? I don't know what to make of that, whether that's just like an odd year random occurrence or what.
Yeah, I don't either. I think as far as the quarterback room goes, it's a pretty quarterback heavy class, but I don't know if three of them deserve first round.
Man, you got six of them there.
That's me personally.
And then it's like,
I'm not an NFL guy though.
You look at like the Broncos and it's like they needed a quarterback, and you ended up with the sixth one, you know, because all the other ones went. Like, I totally understand the Falcons surprised everybody because they just got a quarterback and paid them. Nobody expected them to get a quarterback. Coming up to get McCarthy, like, it's going to be really interesting to see how this all works out. And of course, for me, I'm most interested in Caleb Williams, and they got him some weapons now. He's got some guys to throw to. Can he get the protection he needs? I don't know.
Another thought I wanted to get, who else do you think is going to get into the portal? I mean, we're over scholarships right now.
I don't know.
Have some people, I would have thought that, I think the coaches are on the road. I would have thought we would have known right now.
I think
Tyson Ford, maybe. I'm thinking Jaden Thomas may.
Here's what I thought.
I mean, I don't know.
My thought was, I thought the day after the blue and gold game or whatever, you were going to have a few guys leave because they already knew they weren't going to get playing time. Even before blue and gold, the writing was on the wall. They knew they weren't going to play, whatever. I thought maybe we'd see a few right after that. I don't know, man. I'm not hearing anything on it. And I've been asking people. Nobody's got any juicy rumors. I'm just not hearing a lot. I heard a couple rumors a week and a half ago or something. I heard a couple rumors, and then I checked into it, and it ended up being not a big deal, but like something that looked odd and ended up not being odd after all when I learned what was going on. Like, I don't have any rumors. I don't know. But we're over numbers, aren't you? Some of these guys got to leave.
Someone has to, yeah.
So,
hey, do you have any information? You know, initially when some of these guys were transferring in, like the kid from Clemson and then Riley Leonard and the kid from Northwestern, my initial thought was that Notre Dame may be relaxing their incoming transfers. Maybe relaxing the qualifications, particularly for those sophomore and juniors. We'll come to find out when you look at Bo Collins and then the kid from Northwestern, they're coming in as grad transfers. And I thought Riley Leonard ended up graduating in December, so he's coming in as a grad transfer. So in reality, have they really loosened things up as far as allowing transfers?
It's a really good question. My understanding of this is, They are trying to maneuver more flexibility, still be within our values, speed up the turnaround time to know what guys can be get in and not. Like, my understanding is this is not easy to work with the individual academic colleges within the university because they all have different guidelines. I've been told they're trying to get an understanding there of what's needed and a little more flexibility and a quicker time frame. And so it's a work in progress. Let's put it that way. And I think Bavak was going to help with that because he's modern enough. He understands it. I think Bavak was going to help with this procedure.
Yeah, he seems like he's going to be a very good asset to the football
team. I like him already. He's very, very approachable, humble, clear with his messaging. The way he goes about it, I appreciate. He's gonna really ingratiate himself with the fans. He's got the personality that is approachable. Jack never had an approachable personality. He came off like a curmudgeonly old lawyer. And you know why? Because he's a curmudgeonly old lawyer. So it made sense. This guy's a sweetheart. I like him.
So no hard feelings that he didn't show up to the tailgate then, huh?
Listen. I really appreciate it. You guys, Dr. John, I thought was giving me a hard time the other day. He literally forwarded me the thread between Dr. John. It was hilarious.
Well, I can't let you go, John, without getting your thoughts on the quarterback position. Yeah. I think they're all going to stay based off of how things are playing out at the moment.
Yeah, it's I think they're all going to stay. I'm just not sure how long. This is going to sound really weird, man. I think Angeli may be the best backup right now, but nowhere near as good as the other two could be. Does that make sense? He's like an operator enough and has been around enough and can control the offense to do, like, right now, as we sit, I think he's probably the most reliable backup option. However, I don't think he has nearly the ceiling as the two other guys in the room. So there's a very awkward dichotomy there where I could agree Angeli's probably the best backup right now, but I don't think he has the skill set potential of Minshew or Carr. But he might be a better quarterback right now. It's all that's kind of uncomfortable for me to sort through.
I'm not sure he will be come second week of spring practice. I mean, fall camp.
Yeah.
He will be then.
That'll be interesting. That'll be really interesting. That's one question I have in the spring is, what are the chances, you know, CJ Carr, one of these guys can rise up and steal that backup spot come fall? I don't know whether that's realistic, not realistic, whether they're just counting on it being Steve's the backup for this year and then it's a new world the next year. I don't know what they're thinking.
I'm wondering if that's what they are thinking, unless Leonard gets hurt. Yeah. My concern would be is those other two getting enough snaps in practice to really progress.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. And then that room's only continue to get more complicated when Deuce Knight comes there, because then you're getting another guy low on experience, but off the charts in physical gifts and potential. So it's a wild situation. And I'm going to say this, these are good problems to have. Usually we're like, do we even have one quarterback that we like at all? These are really good problems to have. They're modern problems to have. And I'm glad we have these problems.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, well, last year, do you think we went at Duke with Tyler Buchner or, you know, North Carolina State? Now, granted, Hartman's not a runner, but at least he push the defense back to some degree. Do we win at Clemson with Buchner? Who knows? But anyway, you know, that's old water under the bridge at this moment.
Yeah.
But definitely a good problem to have. Hopefully we don't have a situation to where going into spring next year, we only have two scholarship quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to figure it out. They'll be able to navigate it. The other thing is, and I'm even more confident in saying this now than I was thinking it before, hearing some of the conversations Goolsby had with Denbrock over last weekend when all the guys, alumni, were able to get with the modern team and coaches and talk. Denbrock knows what he's doing, and he knows the skill set that works. He knows what he's looking for. I'm confident that he's going to navigate this to get the right guy to rise up at the right time, hitch our wagons to him. Denbrock knows what he's doing, knows what he's looking for.
Yeah. Well, I definitely trust him. That's for sure. Are you doing a show on Saturday?
I think we should. I kind of think we should. I got something I need to move around personally, but I think we can make that work. I'll put out an alert, you know, sometime early tomorrow for sure. Yeah, but I think it's time to that we do a Saturday show.
Okay, great. Well, John, let me let you go. You have a great weekend, and I appreciate you.
Hey, thank
sharing
you.
The opportunity for us to
I appreciate
and talk and that's, all that stuff.
That's what we're here for. We all need that. It's an Irish therapy session. And I'm sorry I made you wait, man. I was wondering why nobody was calling me today, and I hit refresh, and there everybody was on hold. I don't know what happened, but thank you for your patience.
No, that's no big deal. A lot of times I get you clear when you're on. I'm on the phone line as opposed to through the internet anyway.
There you go. Well, thanks a lot, man. Have a good weekend. Enjoy it.
You too.
Take care.
Man. Ohio Pod. Gotta run. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks, John, for helping us with the college huddle. Hey, it's the least I could do, man. Eric, you're a good dude. You're a good dude. Even with your football allegiance, there's just something about you that I like. I know. I struggle with it too. Oh, boy. All right, guys, that's going to be it for this show. I got to clean off my wiring. I lost half of my torso. I got all sorts of problems today. Unbelievable. All right, I got to clean off my desk, dry off the ports where all of my USBs for the lights and everything are pouring in. There's water in there. This thing's probably going to start smoking. I got problems. All right. I will, you never know what you're going to get here, folks. Thank you everybody for, yeah, I know, Phil, I'm falling apart. I'm so upset I knocked over that water. It's just totally an unacceptable, clumsy move. Thanks everybody for being here. Everybody for donating, everybody for chatting, everybody who called. I'm sorry that I don't know what's going on with the line. I hit refresh and there everybody is. I appreciate you all very much. Stay tuned. I'll see if I can get out of what I maybe need to do tomorrow night, and maybe me and Pat fire it up on a Saturday night. Stay tuned. Thank you, guys.